Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
From KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wynn swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauly and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Well, it's Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly here on this very, very frigid Monday night. And hopefully everybody gets to be, well, I guess let's hope most everyone gets to be back in at home and safe tonight. As you heard from Roger and from Maria, the roads still aren't great. I thankfully have not had to venture out. So you're actually hearing me from home tonight. Matt Pauly is ill, so we wish Matt a speedy recovery. Hope he starts to get feeling better soon. But yeah, so lots of NFL to talk about, at least in this little opening segment here, kind of recapping what went down yesterday. There wasn't a ton left to play for yesterday. There certainly wasn't a lot of playoff spots on the line. There was a couple of things seating wise, but nothing major with the exception of that Sunday night game last night. Denver removed all questions and possibilities that existed in the AFC. So a Denver win, they were the only team that held their own destiny, right? So once they beat Kansas City, that took away the possibility of the Bengals getting in. The Bengals didn't have to, weren't any longer worried with any other games or results or anything like that, because the Bengals certainly were Chiefs fans yesterday. But the Broncos beating up on the Chiefs, which I think everybody expected. As you know, the Chiefs had wrapped up the AFC, so nobody playing as far as Mahomes, Travis Kelce not playing, just a lot of starters out. They were resting everybody, being very safe, of course, as you would expect. So that took care of the AFC, and then the NFC was coming down to that game last night in Detroit, which I was actually interested in. I'm not the biggest NFL fan. I like to watch. I like, don't have a team, if you will, haven't had a team for a while. But I was interested in this game, and it turned out to kind of be a snoozer. It wasn't as tight of a game as I expected it to be. I thought it was going to be a much more competitive game as it was. Detroit ended up winning that game over the Vikings 31-9. And with that, that's to the victors go all of the spoils in the NFC when it comes to that, right? So the Lions win the division, which is minimal, means nothing. But what means a lot is they're the number one seed in the NFC, which gets them home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And what's crazy is, and not crazy necessarily, but what is, I guess, tough is Minnesota has a great season, 14-3, and they're relegated all the way back to the 5 seed because, of course, the division winners end up getting seeded over top. So the Vikings have to go on the road now, and they'll face the Rams on Monday night next week, while the Detroit Lions get to wait and see who they play next week, and they will be at home throughout the NFC playoffs. So it was a game with so much riding on it, so many implications, and again, I really expected it to be a very tight, competitive game, and it just wasn't, from that standpoint, from the competitive side. Pretty cool. I was interested in the, I was sort of rooting for the Lions to get there. The Lions have never been the number one overall seed. So they will be the number one overall seed in the NFC for the first time. So that's kind of cool. And very cool that they get to wait and host a playoff game and See who they play next week. The rest of the NFL, I can tell you, the rest of the playoffs kind of look like this next week anyway. For Saturday, it'll be Chargers, Texans, Steelers, Ravens. The Chargers, Texans, the afternoon game. Steelers, Ravens would be the evening game. Sunday is the Broncos, Bills. Yeah, the Broncos in the playoffs for the first time in 8 seasons, and they've got to go play at Buffalo at the number 2 seed in the AFC. So, yeah, great, nice reward for getting back to the playoffs if you are the Broncos. The Packers and the Eagles are the afternoon, and then the evening game on Sunday is Washington and Tampa Bay. And then, as I mentioned, that Monday night is going to be the Vikings and the Rams. Give you a rundown of what we have got going on for you tonight here on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Again, sitting in for Matt Pauley, who's a little bit under the weather today, so hopefully he has a chance to rest and get better. We'll talk a lot of college, basketball, football, all of the above. Earl Austin Jr. is going to kick us off coming up at 6:20, so our second segment here, we'll talk to the awesome one, who is, of course, a color commentator. He is a member of the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame, I think the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame. Many times over. So he's a great guest. We love to talk to Earl Austin Jr. We'll chat with him coming up at 6:20. We can even talk some Lindenwood basketball. Lindenwood just over at SIUE this past weekend as they continue their transition to the Division I level. Jerry Palm's going to join us from CBS. That'll be in the latter half of the 6 o'clock hour. So about 6:35 or so, we'll talk to Jerry Palm. We'll also talk to Nate Gatter. Of course, you hear him here on KMOX. Heard him for the last couple of seasons on the St. Louis City Soccer Report. He's taken on a much more national profile doing college football, college basketball. He's even done some NFL games, did his first NFL game a couple weeks back. So we'll get to visit with Nate Gatter. We'll visit with Randy Molman as well. Again, as I said, the theme's kind of been a lot of college. That's who was able to join us tonight, so we appreciate it. So Randy can talk a lot about about Mizzou football. We'll kind of wrap up what he thought of this Mizzou football season and, of course, how it finished out for the Tigers. He can also talk on some Mizzou basketball, some SIUE basketball. So we'll talk with him on all of those things, all that and above for Randy Molman. And that's our lineup here for tonight for this Gray Bar Sports Open Line on a very snowy Monday. I hope that you are safe. As I said, hope you can avoid the roads as much as possible. I've been able to avoid the roads for the last 2 days. My full-time gig's at SIU Edwardsville, and we were closed earlier today, so that's been nice. So hope that's been the same for you. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Earl Austin Jr. is first up for us tonight on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. I'm Joe Pott, sitting in for Matt Pauley, and we're coming right back on KMOX. Joe Pott back in on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on a Monday night here in St. Louis. I am coming at you live from my basement office. That's how we do it because it's pretty crappy weather. And I am thankful that we have the wonderful technology and Kyle Sixta back in the studio tonight. And I were able to hook it up and it sounds great. And I'm glad to be able to do it. Matt Pauley taking some time off under the weather a little bit, so we wish him a speedy recovery, certainly. And as I mentioned, it just the way it turned out, we're going to talk a lot of college tonight. So that's just the way it kind of shook out tonight when we started putting together who we were going to have a chance to visit with and talk to tonight. And we'll get things started here with a name and a voice that you hear often here on KMOX, and that would be the awesome one, Earl Austin Jr., and we can talk all kinds of college basketball, but thanks for taking some time, Earl.
Joe, Happy New Year to you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. Happy New Year to you. And the Billikens certainly feel like right now starting to come around, maybe starting to gel, starting to click. It's literally what the non-conference schedule is for, right? To get you prepared to get to this point, and at least through the first couple of games, they've looked really strong.
It really has. Like you said, we had some pretty tough competition and took some tough losses, and we had some injuries, and That kind of all contributed to our up and down non-conference season. But you can see our trip to Phoenix, we lost to Grand Canyon, a very good team, but lost at the buzzer. But you could see us really coming around, and I think it's kind of carried over. And then you win our first conference road game at Fordham pretty convincingly, and then you come home and win a home opener against a very good St. Joe's team. Crowd was really enthused, and guys really starting to play well together at both ends of the court. So, as you said, things are starting to come together, and you hope it continues.
I was listening. I heard the post game from Fordham, and you and Rammer and Coach were talking about. I think Rammer said something like, it's like grabbing that gold bar, right? If you get because a win's a win, a road win's big, and a road win in conference, it's hard to beat that, right? And to go on the road and start league play like that's huge.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It is road wins in conference play are just so hard. And if you're going to compete for any conference championship, whether it's at any level, you got to win. You got to win at home first, majority, if not all your home games, but you got to find some wins on the road. So to get that first one under your belt was a big one as well. And it was even more important to follow it up with a home victory against St. Joe's. Going off the air, that was a good one to win at New York, but we can't give it back right away by losing at home as well. So I think to follow up with a very impressive 40-minute performance, and I think that's what we've seen. Guys are starting to really put things together for a full 40 minutes, and that's what you're going to need to win the games in this conference. It's pretty tough from top to bottom, and you really need a good – you have to have the execution and a good effort, and I think that's what they're starting to commit to now.
Earl Austin Jr. is in his 34th year on the broadcast team for the St. Louis University Billikens. Earl, give me your impressions just so far of, what you've seen from Coach Josh Schertz and kind of what you expect he will do, he'll put together here as time goes along at St. Louis University.
I think you saw a real good example of the last two games, especially the other night, the ball movement, the way the guys share the basketball, get open shots, really value it. You could see it start to come into place as well. Guys are scoring on backdoor cuts. Guys are screening for each other, getting themselves open, and just a commitment to playing not with each other but for another. And I think what you're also seeing is that on the defensive end now, guys are doing a great job of helping each other, making the extra effort, doing things like that. I think folks got a sneak preview of what Josh Schertz's basketball was going to be like when they watched the Indiana State run and during the NIT. You got a chance to watch all six games and how enthused the crowd was in Terre Haute. And I think what we saw the other night against St. Joe's at the Chaffetz Center, I think that was the first indication, although it was like our ninth home game, but of what it can be like. The crowd was really, you could see it pop for really the first time, and that was because of some of the great team basketball that was exhibited. There was one possession which I even tweeted about where all five men touched the basketball and ended up in a Robbie Avila three-point shot, which kind of sealed the game with about 3-4 minutes to go, and the crowd just went crazy. And I think that's kind of a harbinger of what it can be like in the future under Josh Schertz here at the Billikens.
That's just right out of Hoosiers, right?
It was fun. I mean, I love it really was. Five-man basketball. I mean, there's a lot of ways to skin the cat, but when you see that ball zipping around, and I even saw the postgame, like one of my favorite teams ever was the 2014 Spurs, where they just moved that ball, and that was kind of an example of that. He said the guys did that on their own. That's when they start. You know, when it's not offense, when they just start reading and react, reading what the defense is doing, and then they're just kind of like, then it looks like a symphony just playing music, and that's when it's fun to watch and listen to.
But I imagine as a coach, too, there's not much more gratifying than that, as you said, not necessarily a play call. It's just when they start clicking, they start knowing where each other's going to be, and that ball is moving around and zipping around, like you said. I always hear when I talk to Coach Baroni at SIUE, he always, if something goes wrong, a lot of times he'll talk about, boy, that ball got stuck, right? It just wasn't moving. There was no reversal, whatever the case is. But especially when it's happening just on the fly and organically like that.
Oh, yeah. Like, say, there's anchors when the ball just stops, and then there's propellers, you know, and those, all those five propellers moving that basketball. And then when you have it going like that, that's when your shooting percentage is, because everybody's touching the basketball. It's like a power source. You know, everybody gets a chance to feel it. And it's the same thing on the defensive end. You know, when your man gets you get beat on the dribble, somebody helps. Then they rotate it out to that guy. Then that guy makes an extra effort in somebody. So you hear about that play as one on the offense, but it's the same thing on the defense. And frankly, if you're going to win in the Atlantic 10 conference, that's the level of ball you're going to have to play. Not only the execution, but the extra effort plays that you have to make on the boards and getting out to a shooter and things like that. So I think they're starting to figure out this is what you need to compete at that high level for 40 minutes, not 20 or 30, if you're going to try to compete at the highest level in that conference we're in.
Chatting with Earl Austin Jr. here on the Graybar Sports Open Line. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly, and they've got a Wednesday matchup coming up with St. Bonaventure at Chaffetz Arena. St. Louis has been very good offensively through the first couple of games. Bonaventure is a super strong defensive team, and again, they've had another good non-conference year. It just feels like Bonaventure is always going to be one of those teams, at least the last four or five seasons, that's going to fight for one of those top four seeds in the league.
Well, Mark Schmidt is that when you talk about St. Bonaventure, you start with Mark Schmidt. He's been there for I don't know how many years, 15 or whatever, and he's one of the most well-respected coaches in the country. He's consistently put winning teams in Olean, New York, been to the tournament, won our conference. And he just does a fabulous job. They play with toughness. He doesn't play a lot of times. You don't play five or six guys. He's got big, strong guards, and they're good defensively. They're, you know, a good unit as well, good size. Got a big guy in the middle and everything. And that's always going to be a tough game, whether it's here in St. Louis or Olean. It doesn't get any better than Mark Schmidt when it comes to A-10 coaches. And as so happens, both teams happen to be 2-0. In league play. There's only three of us right now at 2-0. Richmond, I believe, is the third team right now, and it just shows how topsy-turvy this league can be. Yeah, so an opportunity for one team to be 3-0 and have sole possession going into the second week of league play.
Well, and we talked about it, right? We talked about getting those wins on the road. You know, I'm a Dayton guy, talking about the A-10. They go on the road and absolutely got beat up by George Washington over the weekend.
Yeah, by 20, and George Washington was picked last. That just shows there's no easy game. You go on the road in somebody else's building, you have to be ready to play. It doesn't matter where they're picked or who you're playing against. I think you're going to see a lot of that as well. You know, VCU went into Chicago and got a big win at Loyola the other day after losing at St. Bonaventure, a last-second shot, and they go in. So, yeah, you got to take care of business at home, but you go on the road. So I think that's why it's so important for us to get this one on the road, because we got to go to Richmond for back-to-back games at VCU, where we've never won at the Siegel Center. And then Richmond, that third team, that other team, that's 2-0. That's who the Billikens play on Saturday, the following Saturday. We play at VCU on Wednesday. So we got back-to-back games at Richmond. So that heightens the importance of this home game at St. Bonaventure to try to get one.
Yeah, my goodness, that is definitely tough. Last couple of minutes here with Earl Austin Jr., I do want to ask you about your alma mater, the Lindenwood Lions, who I saw this weekend over at SIUE. But talk about a defensive team. They really put the clamps down. It was a game that SIUE ended up winning, but that was one of those grinded-out defensive games between the Cougars and the Lions. I've said a lot that I do feel like the school, the athletic department, they are doing – all of the right things as they work through this incredibly tough transition from Division II to Division I. But I like where Kyle Gerdeman's got the basketball team going.
I think so too. And also Amy Egan on the women's side. Yeah, they're 3-1 in league play. And Kyle's done a good job. I know they played some competitive games against them. Power four conferences, and they're 1-3 in league play, but I think in his third year, I think top to bottom, this was probably his most talented roster. Had a few injuries. We're without two starters right now the last couple games, and that's tough on the road at Eastern, at SIUE, who are two good teams. But I think he's put together a pretty good team. They got some good athletes. Marquise Browning's one of the most explosive players in the in the OVC. Reggie Bass, who hadn't played the two games, is a good player as well. And then Jadis Jones from New Madrid, who's Mr. Basketball, has done a nice job, one of the top freshmen in the OVC. So, yeah, and once again, just like A-10, the OVC is so competitive from top to bottom. You really have to win your home games and see what you can do on the road. But I think they can turn things. They got a couple home games coming up, and I kind of like once they get everybody healthy, they can do some things in the league.
Yeah, I made the comment that Jadis Jones, I bet Simo's kicking themselves for letting him get away. He's in their backyard, came out of New Madrid.
I think he was going to go to Coastal Carolina to play football. That was his original commitment. And then he decided around the winter, I'm going to play basketball. And then Lindenwood got in, and he's done a great job. He's been the OVC Freshman of the Week, I think, three or four times. I call it the Jadis Jones OVC Freshman of the Week.
I think he might have gotten it today as well. Sure.
He probably has. I mean, he's consistently 12, 13, 7, 8 rebounds, and he's been a great find for Kyle.
Well, Earl, you're the best. I appreciate you checking in, certainly on some short notice, too. Good luck on Wednesday to the Billikens and certainly that tough run into Virginia as well. But we appreciate you, man.
I appreciate too. And finally, one thing real quick. Teacher at SIU, just a shout out to Rayshon Taylor, one of my favorite players in some St. Louis metro area. Glad to see him healthy and doing great things as well. I wanted to get that out there for you too as well.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, and I will pass that along to him as well in case he doesn't hear it. So thanks, man.
No problem.
Earl Lawson Jr. with us here, kicking things off on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. We'll keep things moving here. We've got Jerry Palm coming up, so more college, lots of college tonight. That's the way it shakes out here on this snowy, cold Monday evening. Jill Pott in for Matt Pauly. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Jerry Palm joins us on the other side of the break as the Gray Bar Sports Open Line continues here on KMOX. Joe Potty in for Matt Pauly on this Monday night. It's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. It turns out to be accidental, but it turns out to be very college sports heavy tonight, which is all right with me. Of course, that's my full-time gig anyway, but pleased to welcome in here on KMOX is Jerry Palm of CBS Sports. He covers college basketball, college football, and we're glad that he's joining us here tonight. Jerry, thanks for doing this on short notice tonight. We appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I want to start, if it's okay. I know you're a Purdue alum, but I'd like to start with Barry Odom, who's the new head coach at Purdue. Of course, folks here in St. Louis know him as the former head coach at Missouri and then went on to UNLV. But what is he getting himself into at Purdue? And then flip side, what do you think Purdue's getting in Barry Odom?
Well, what he's getting himself into is a bit of a rebuild. Fortunately, it's a lot easier to rebuild now than it was 10 years ago when, you know, transfers had to sit out a year. You were lucky to find transfers. It wasn't such a thing as a portal. And you just had to recruit your way into getting better. And that's a slow process. And now, you know, the way the rules are with player movement, it's a lot easier to rebuild. And you could see that at Indiana this year. With Kurt Cignetti coming in and turning over a roster, brought a bunch of kids with him from James Madison and ended up with one of the best seasons in the history of Indiana. That's probably too much to expect to be a normal thing. So, you know, I don't think Purdue's expectations are that high, but, they're at a floor. They just had the worst season probably in the entire history of the program. You know, just 2 years ago, they were in a Big Ten championship game. So, It's not really far to get Purdue back to a level of, you know, competitiveness where, you know, they're in bowl games and, you know, the occasional, very good season. But that's what Purdue fans are used to, you know, generally being competitive and then, you know, having the occasional great year. But, you know, it's there's still going to be a climb for that. And, you know, as for Barry, I think we were pretty excited at Purdue to get him. He's been a pretty successful head coach. He was there, and he was at UNLV, where they hardly ever win. And so he seems to fit, you know, personality wise, the culture of the school, the culture of the athletic department. And so we're pretty optimistic that he can get things turned around, if not instantaneously, in relatively short order.
Sure, and you referenced obviously what Indiana has done, and just as an example of how quick you can sort of make that change or get things turned around. The other side of that is it sustainable for someone like an Indiana?
Maybe it depends. I mean, every program got built from something, so you know, sure, why not? But we'll have to see. Purdue does not have the benefit of Indiana's schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Indiana ended up with the worst schedule for a major conference team that I can remember. You know, it's that not only did they have three, you know, low-level non-conference games, and you can't blame them for that. They've been bad for a number of years. Why schedule up? But then they ended up being – it worked out so that they ended up with a really poor Big Ten schedule. And, you know, they had Ohio State, of course, which they didn't win that game and they weren't particularly close in the end. And then they get Michigan in what was a down year for Michigan. But everybody else, I think they only had one team on their schedule win as many as seven games in the regular season. So, you know, Purdue's not going to have that next year. Purdue's going to have another difficult schedule. Notre Dame's on it again in non-conference play. So, 11-1, he's going to have to bring in like an NFL team to go 11-1 against Purdue or an Ohio State. Not the same thing. Anyways, so it's the expectations aren't going to be 11-1, I don't think, at Purdue. But that's not a realistic expectation anyway, and Indiana was pretty fortunate to be able to pull that off. And credit to them for being able to pull it off.
Jerry Palm from CBS Sports with us here on the Graybar Sports Open Line. Joe Pott sitting in for Matt Pauly here on this Monday night. Do you feel like the committee got it right or got it close to right as far as the college football playoff bracket is concerned?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I mean, yes. And they could have picked some other teams and still have been right. It's just not that cut and dry. The week before the final selections, Miami lost, and they could have put Miami ahead of Alabama. There was a case for that, and there was a case for Alabama ahead of Miami, and that's what they went with. And what they told us was it had to do with the quality of Alabama's wins, which was fair, right? I mean, they had some great wins, and they played a better schedule, and even though they had one more loss, you could make that case. SMU lost the following week, and SMU's resume, if you will, for the committee looks a lot more like Miami's than it did Alabama's. They didn't have the big quality wins, and neither did Miami. Their losses were a little better than Miami's, but everything they said about Alabama in comparison to Miami applied just as much to SMU, but they didn't make the same decision the next week. So that felt inconsistent to me, and I don't really, like I said, you could make the case for Alabama. They chose SMU, and you could make the case for SMU. So, I mean, I would have been okay either way, but the way the last 2 weeks played out felt inconsistent to me.
When we're looking at, going forward, I think Nick Saban was probably the most outspoken as far as not rewarding the conference champions necessarily. Do you agree with that, or do you think they should be rewarded as conference champs?
I don't think the bye did them any favors.
Right.
So maybe they don't want to be rewarded that way. You know, it's funny. The NFL has been doing this for quite a while. And we just watched the game last night where 14-2 teams held it out, where one was going to be the number one seed as a division champion and the other one was going to be a 5 because they didn't win their division. Now, the teams that get a bye in the college football playoff, though, it's different because you're not just off a week and you're resting up. You're off almost a month because those conference championship games are the first weekend in December, and then they're playing their first game New Year's Day. So that's a lot of time off. You can get kind of rusty. You've got the holidays in there too, so your team is probably scattered for part of that time. And I don't think the bye is a real big advantage. So, you know, the schedule, and I don't think you're going to – if you're going to play the playoff games and bowl games, you know, those quarterfinal rounds, then you're going to have to do them New Year's Day that weekend. So unless they can create a more fair schedule for the teams to get byes, that's, to me, a bigger problem than who you give those byes to.
Yeah, it certainly didn't feel like there was any kind of advantage to being that that team. It's the rest versus rust kind of argument.
Arizona State's the only one that really
that made a game,
competed all the way in their game among the teams that got byes.
Yeah, no question about it. Do you think that Texas having a pseudo home game coming up against Ohio State, does that give them any kind of advantage being in Dallas?
No, because Ohio State's going to fill that stadium. So if they were playing, you know, Indiana, yeah, fine. It's going to be a 90% Texas crowd, but Ohio State fans are going to be there. They may not outnumber Texas, but they're certainly not going to – they're not going to be a low percentage of Ohio State fans in that audience. So, and the biggest problem, though, that Texas has is that Ohio State looks like a machine in these playoffs. That team that beat Tennessee – and then turned around and beat Oregon as badly as they did.
That's the best
team in college football. That's the best team in college football. The Ohio State that plays like that, they have the talent to play like that. They've always had the talent, and it shows up quite a bit. But that was as impressive a team as I've seen in a postseason game that mattered as what Ohio State has done in these first two games. And so if I'm Texas, I'm much more worried about the football team showing up than the fans.
Right, right. No question about it. I didn't mean to make this all college football. I'll add a college basketball for you right before we let you go here. Your top four seeds in the most recent bracketology, Iowa State, Tennessee, Auburn, Duke. Is there one that you feel like is more complete than the other, than the others?
I really like Auburn because of Johnny Broome. I mean, that kid is on his way to a National Player of the Year, it looks like. And that's the guy that everybody else is going to have to figure out how to deal with. And in a way, he's not the same kind of player necessarily, even though he's a big, but it's kind of like with Zach Edey and Purdue the last 2 years. You know, you've got to figure out what you're going to do with him, how you're going to try and neutralize him. You're going to game plan around him. And with Auburn, I think that's the guy. Johnny Broome is the guy you've got to game plan around. And you have a guy like that. It makes you pretty hard to beat.
Well, my full-time gig is at SIU Edwardsville as a broadcaster and SID, and I had to see Broome in the league here as he started with Morehead State, so I remember him, and he's really good.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I didn't realize he started at Morehead State.
He started at Morehead State, so yeah. So wow. Imagine a talent like that playing at a mid-major league. He was obviously head and shoulders above a lot of folks in the league, and maybe it gave him a chance to grow up and be ready for what was to come. But yeah, he certainly has grown into those shoes. He's really good. Jerry, I appreciate you doing this on short notice. It was great to get a chance to catch up, talk to you a little bit. Like I said, didn't necessarily mean it to be all college football, but I appreciate you going with the flow.
Yeah, that's all right. Talk to you anytime. It sounds good. Anyways, I'm just happy to talk to you anytime.
Yeah, very nice. Jerry Palm, you can follow him on X, JP Palm CBS. Follow him there on X, college football, college basketball, all of the above. Thanks to him. We will finish things up here on the 6 o'clock hour on the other side of the break. We've got more to do in the 7 o'clock hour, of course. And it's, as I said, going to be a lot of college, and that's all right. That's just the way it shakes out here tonight. So one more segment to go here in the 6 o'clock hour. Kyle Sixt is back in the studio at KMOX. I'm Joe Pott sitting in for Matt Pauly tonight. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the 6 on the other side of the break. It's KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Joe Pott sitting in for Matt Pauly tonight. Happy you are with us. And hopefully Matt is, I hope he's not listening because I hope he's getting some rest tonight because I know he's a little bit under the weather. So hopefully he is doing everything he needs to do to rest and recover and recuperate and get better and be back here in this. Well, it wouldn't be this seat because that'd be weird if he was in my basement, but in the Sports Open Line seat tomorrow evening. Glad you're along. And as I said, just sort of accidentally, the an accidental all college program tonight. Again, not on purpose, but that's the way it shakes out with Jerry Palm here in this first hour and Earl Austin Jr. talking Billiken's basketball. We'll talk to Nate Gatter and Randy Molman coming up in our 7 o'clock hour, and a lot of college between them. We can talk a little NFL with Nate as well and just catch up with Nate, to be honest. Doesn't have to even be about a lot of sports because I haven't had a chance to talk to Nate in a while. And as I mentioned off the top, Nate, who has been doing a lot of stuff here at KMOX, and of course you hear him a lot on the St. Louis Soccer Report, but he's taken on a real national profile and is really becoming one of the top play-by-play guys on national radio when it comes to college football, college basketball, even the NFL, as I mentioned. So really cool, and I'll be glad just to catch up with him and chat with him about that and how things are going. And I think that I'm sure that you would be glad to hear from him as well. So we'll do that coming up. He's going to be at 7:20, I believe, if I had it right. 7:20 for him. And then it'll be Randy Molman coming up at 7:35. And Randy can talk a variety of things. A lot of Mizzou. He is the in-house voice of Faurot Field Memorial Stadium, the year of all the football games. Been doing that for quite a while. He's more recently become the most time voice in-house at Mizzou Arena, too, for men's basketball. So he does a lot of that. But also calls some play-by-play. He does play-by-play for us over at SIU Edwardsville, calling our women's basketball games. He's done several men's basketball games for me over the years. He did a lot of PA work at SIUE. So he's done a lot for us at SIUE as well, and just an all-around good sports guy. So it'll be good to catch up with Randy as well and chat about a lot of different things. Don't know that we'll have time for calls. Don't really think we'll have time for calls tonight. If we do, it may be the very last segment of the 7 o'clock hour if you want to try to get in there, but I would not count on that. We're pretty full with our four guests that we have tonight, and so I don't think we'll have a big chance there. I am looking forward to, just thinking back on our conversation that we were having with Jerry Palm, I am looking forward to the semifinal games in the college football playoff. I have enjoyed, for the most part, the playoff. I wish, as we talked about, that there were a couple of more competitive games. And I honestly don't also think that, I don't know. I hope that Ohio State and Texas is competitive. I'm not a huge Ohio State fan, so I would like to see Texas come out of that one. But I know it will be tough because of the way that Ohio State is playing. A really, obviously, best game, probably maybe the best game of the playoffs so far, was that Arizona State game. Thought they were going to get past Texas in that game, coming all the way back and then forcing overtime, and that was about the most fun. I was glued to almost that entire game from start to finish, and I wish they were all like that, but as you know, as many others have said, it's not like we don't get games like that in playoffs in other sports. It just happens that way that we get some of those blowout games, and it feels like a total mismatch. And you know, it feels like maybe, as a lot of people are saying, maybe one of those teams didn't belong. It's a little bit different, a little more subjective on the college level than it is, say, NFL level or other sports, where it's pretty clear. You get to a certain point, you know, you're in the playoffs. You get to a certain wins or point total, whatever that is, whatever sport that is. It's not like somebody is making those selections. Obviously, they are at the NCAA basketball schedule, and we have our own arguments there and who should be and who shouldn't be in the NCAA basketball tournament as well. So, but it makes it a lot of fun, and it makes for a good conversation. 7 o'clock hour is coming up here on the Graybar Sports Open Line. Again, Nate Gatter and Randy Molman to join us there. And we'll have some more fun here in the 7 o'clock hour, talking a lot more college sports here on this very cold, very snowy Monday evening. Matt Pauly under the weather tonight, Joe Pott sitting in, and one more hour to come, and we'll be back right after the news. The Graybar Sports Open Line continues here on KMOX.